Welcome to The Plants We Eat, an investigation of the history, biology, and culture of the plants that we use for food. I'm Jeff Gilman, director of the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens and plant history buff.
And I'm Cindy Proctor, instructor at CPCC, Charlotte, North Carolina, and a garden coach for urban landscape folks.
Let me start off by saying we're going to talk about you today, and not you, but you, Y-E-W. And let me say, you is not a food. I think that's important. You know, this podcast is called The Plants We Eat, and today we're going to talk about a fascinating plant.
But don't eat it.
It has all kinds of uses, but food really isn't one of them. So the yew is a group of about 25 species, which are native across many regions of the world. I mean, they're really all over the place. This is a dioecious species. What dioecious means is that there's separate male and female plants. Mm-hmm. Actually, not all yews are male and female plants, but they're mostly.
That's right.
Either male or female plants. And the female plants will produce this red fruit with a seed inside. And technically, you could eat that red fruit. But if you eat that seed, then you've poisoned yourself. In fact, that is the only time in my life that I have had to take syrup of ipecac. You know syrup of ipecac?
Yes.
Yes, that's
this
the stuff.
This makes me smile.
Yeah, it's the stuff that we used to, and it's not recommended anymore. We used to all have in our medicine cabinets, and it would make us vomit. And it would make you vomit, of course, to get anything bad out of your system. So when I was a kid, I accidentally swallowed the seed of a yew. And had to take syrup of ipecac.
That explains a lot, because you're more experimental in the garden
than
I would ever hope to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would like to say that just because of the dangers involved, I don't recommend trying that fruit.
No, I don't. It's not worth it.
But technically, that is edible, but I don't encourage you to try it. But that said, the yew has been used for so many purposes, for so many years, that it's still worth looking at. You know, the oldest piece of worked wood in the world is actually a yew spearhead dated to 450,000 years ago. People have been using yew for a long, long time. They're known for their springy wood that can be used for bows. In fact, you know, when you hear about English longbows and such, actually, they're often talking about yew bows. They're not always talking about yew bows. There's a common misconception that yew was the wood that was used. That is not true. There were many different woods that was used, but yew is one of the woods that was used the most. It was used in both Europe and actually here in the United States or in North America. Pacific yew is a yew that's grown in the western portion of the United States, and that was also used for bows by Native Americans. Now, yew is a softwood. What does softwood mean? Well, softwood means that it's a needle evergreen, similar to a pine or a spruce. And then you're saying to yourself, at least I hope you're saying to yourself, now, do softwoods necessarily have softwood? And actually, the truth is that they don't necessarily have softwood. Yew actually has relatively hardwood. And there are certainly hardwoods that have softer wood than yew, although it's true that needle evergreens typically do have slightly softer wood, but yew has a harder wood. So there's something called a bow index, which is basically the ability of wood to resist breaking. Okay, so it's the ability of wood to resist breaking divided by their ability to bend. So they take numbers and, you know, they give a number to its ability to resist breaking divided by this number that indicates its ability to bend. And then you end up with a number, and the higher the number, the better it's bow indexed. The best measured is a Madagascar rosewood at 13.79. The third best is European yew at 11.52, and Pacific yew is close behind at 11.26. Something like Austrian pine comes in at about 5.96, and Norway spruce at 6.49, and Turkey oak then comes in at something like 10.57. So you get some idea of the spread. But the yews are among the best with their bow index, with that again, European yew at 11.52 and Pacific yew at 11.26. Now, one of the interesting things about yews is that basically the entire tree is poisonous. According to a Greek physician, and I'm going to screw up my ancient Greek here, which I apologize for, and if any of you speak ancient Greek, you should feel free to contact me and tell me exactly how it is pronounced. According to ancient Greek physician Dioscorides, yew emits a poisonous fume, and sleeping or eating under this tree could actually lead to death. And actually, they have shown that the pollen does contain some of the toxin, and it actually could lead to headaches. It is probably not going to kill anybody, but it does have some allergy danger. So this researcher named Tagus Ogren actually created an allergy scale. With this allergy scale, what he actually did is looked at pollen from many different plants and figured out which plants were most likely to cause an allergic reaction in a person. And yew is in that top tier. It is one of the plants most likely to cause a reaction. So what that means is that for your yard, you might prefer to get a female yew instead of a male yew. And the reason you might want a female yew is because it's not going to have a pollen causing this allergy. Of course, that also means that you're going to have these red berries, which unfortunately may be attractive to children, and they'll have these seeds inside, which may be toxic. So you kind of have to decide. And this actually can be a very big deal, because especially up north, yews are extremely popular plants to grow in yards. Yews are very manipulatable. They're very prunable. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great things you can do with yew in a landscape. So they're great to have in a yard, but you have to realize that the females are going to be have toxic seeds, and the males are going to produce pollen that, you know, can result in some allergies. Poisoning with yews actually usually happens from eating leaves, though. And that does happen from time to time. Unfortunately, sometimes because of intentional ingestion, people are actually trying to hurt themselves, and it unfortunately can work. Now, there's one more thing that we have to mention about yew before we move on, and that is that yew actually has been extremely important in cancer treatments. So through the years, random screenings of plants have been done. They're common. You screen plants and plant materials to see whether they have any effect on cancers. Most of the things that are found to have an effect on cancer can't actually ever be used by a human because they're either toxic to the human or they're toxic at the concentration that they have to be used. So most of these things that we screen, unfortunately, don't work. But every once in a while, you'll find something in a petri dish that controls cancer that can also be taken by a human and be, not kill the human. And that is the case with something from yew. In 1966, Dr. Monroe Wall, who is a North Carolina chemist, reported that paclitaxel had the most tumor-suppressing activity that he had ever seen. Now, this was actually mostly ignored, and Wall gave up, and he never patented this paclitaxel. But then, in 1977, they started looking at paclitaxel again, and they saw that it suppressed tumors in living mice without killing the mice. Human trials began in 1983. Now, a few people died because of allergic reactions, which, based on what we now know, shouldn't surprise anybody. But by 1989, it was evident that this compound was actually a valuable cancer fighter. And today, you can get a compound called nametaxol, which is a cancer fighter, basically a type of chemotherapy. Now, paclitaxel, which is, again, the compound that nametaxol goes under, paclitaxel is found in all species of yew, but Pacific yew was originally focused on because a large amount of bark could be harvested, and you could actually get this compound from the bark. But ultimately, most paclitaxel today comes from the needles of English yew, from which a similar compound can be harvested and then actually chemically converted into paclitaxel. So you know, even though you can't eat it, it is actually very significant today for its help in fighting cancer, and in the old days for its use as a useful wood for a bow. And, you know, something I didn't mention, which is worth mentioning, back in the old days when they used this wood to make their bows, they would also use juice from the yew leaves. The Celts would use juice from the yew leaves as a poison on the tips of their arrows.
Oh.
Because, hey, why not? And who knows? Maybe they cured some enemy's cancer.
That's true.
I doubt it, but you never can tell. Right.
Killed
exactly. But, you know, the thing is, we're talking in this way about the yew. Where I grew up around yews in the landscape. My first 22 years were in Pennsylvania. And let me tell you, in Pennsylvania, this was extremely commonly planted plant.
Well, understandably, it's a great plant in the landscape, especially in northern areas and Midwest mm-hmm. as well. I mean, it's great. I mean, it has a medium growth rate, which I would always prefer, you know, being in the middle of growing too fast or too slow. It's resistant to a lot of insect and disease, which is always a plus, you know, when you're trying to, you know, decorate your yard, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has year-round color because it's evergreen. And
right?
If you don't prune it too harshly, then you can enjoy the red arils, you know?
I always thought it had kind of a Christmas look.
It does. And it has a dark olive green color, you know, and that's a great backdrop to other beauties, you know, in the landscape. Pruning it. There's not many things out there you could prune to look like Mickey Mouse or, you know, an evergreen tree.
Prune it to almost anything.
You can prune it to almost anything, and it's very forgiving. It's easy to propagate, you know, for nurserymen. So, mm-hmm. and it has great winter hardiness up to zones 2.
Yeah, you know? and in terms of heat, it can take. I mean, it can take.
Well, that's
Charlotte.
Where I was gonna name the bad falls of
yeah,
it,
okay.
But I'll get there in just a minute.
Okay.
But it is a plant that is widely used in Europe, and it was brought here when we were settling in this country to adorn, you know, landscapes across the country. And I mean, you're right. You drive just. Wow, 100 miles from Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
or let's say 200 miles just to be safe, you're going to see it everywhere, adorn every yard's foundation, and then some.
And here in Charlotte, you can find it. I'm not going to call it popular, but you can find it here.
Well, so I gave you all the great parts of it. The downfall of it is that it is deer candy, even though it's extremely
yes.
toxic to livestock and to humans. But you know, of course, we're not going to graze
right.
Texas like a livestock is. So it is extremely toxic to them. It's not heat tolerant, although there are three yews that are native to the United States, but those aren't used as much. The cultivars are from two different taxas, the genus for yews. One is the Taxus media. Look for that one in the south.
Okay.
If you want to have yews, because they are not heat tolerant. You know, their zones are only like 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
The heat tolerant ones are to 7.
Right.
It's still not that great.
No.
So you need to plant it in some shady, you know, areas without the heat of the day. But, you know, I have another plant. If you want a yew, because we're not harvesting it to help with cancer situations, right?
You know,
we're leaving those up to the pharmaceutical companies. But there's a Japanese false yew.
Is that cephalotaxis?
Yes, cephalotaxis.
Yeah,
you can use that if you're, you know, transplanted here from the north, or you're a southerner that likes the look of the yew. Why not use the Japanese false yew? You kind of get a great heat-tolerant plant that has similar appearance.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, use a great ornamental choice for the yard, you know, whether it's the false yew or the real yew.
Right, and the stories about it are, I think, equally interesting. I mean, you got to love the poison pollen cloud that the males.
I know. I thought of that. I was like, wow, you can't even sit under a tree without the pollen giving you a headache.
It's worth pointing out that the yew is a very long-lived tree. And there are yews in Britain that are approaching 6,000 years old.
Well, there's little care involved in it. If you know, so
they don't get many diseases,
no.
and that's because of all the poisons there.
Yes,
but they really do not get.
I'm kind of jealous, you know, like we're how we overuse hollies here.
Yeah,
I know yews are overused, but why not if it really is that bulletproof?
Yeah, so. It is. And there are also different forms, upright, prostrate. Great plant for the landscape, not a great plant to eat. But a lot of cancer patients out there are thankful for it.
Well, the birds, by the way, eat a lot of the seeds because of the arrow fruit, but they digest them through and they're not affected by the poison.
They are a great bird attractor.
Yes. Right?
This has been The Plants We Eat, produced by UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens with the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. Thank you to Alex Frizzell with the UNC Charlotte Isle Group and Alice Chapin from the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. Look forward to talking with you next week.